Blog Talk Radio.
I love that music. That is Madam Perry Salon theme music. It's called Miss Eve's Vacation, and it was written by my favorite guitar player and musician, Denton Perry. And when we wrote it, it was kind of a stimulus. I think the inspiration was one of our corgis running up and down the beach in St. Simon's or Jekyll Island, so you can kind of picture that. But anyway, welcome once again to Madam Perry Salon, and I just want to say thanks so much for listening, for being here. You know, I try to bring you the coolest people, because Madam Perry just, you know, I do meet some of the most fascinating people, and I'm truly grateful for it. Tonight, though, so in case you wonder why it's called Madam Perry Salon, if you're new to the show, it's because I've always been fascinated with the idea of the situation that people used to do back a couple of centuries back in England and Asia and so forth, Europe, where there would be a wealthy patroness who would have certain artists, authors, and musicians to her home and let everybody work on, play what they were working on at the time or read from their new works, and you know, just to get them support and a place to share and kind of thrive and grow. And so this right now is, I started as a blog where I would interview people, and I'd always have a second person with me to make it more of a conversation with the guest. And now I've moved Madam Perry Salon into cyberspace and with the podcast, which is fun. It really is. And I'm just so grateful that I've had so many fun guests and that you all do send me good comments about what you do like or don't like. And tonight is no exception. Now, with me tonight, I have a co-host, and it's somebody many of you know already. And she's a friend, and she's also a client of mine. She's author Sherry Meek. Sherry, welcome to Madam Perry's podcast.
Hey, Jennifer. Thank you so much for having me on again tonight. I really appreciate it, and it's always an honor to be on your podcast because I love what you do. I love how you, you know, talk to people and make them feel comfortable, so I'm happy to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, you know, and of course, we have two guests tonight, and they've never been in Madam Perry's salon before, so I'm not sure how they're going to I think these guys are the kind that can pretty well roll with whatever happens. But, you know, Robert Leland Taylor, the first the author, the first time he was in here in Madam Perry's salon, he said it looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle.
It's so true. It's very true.
Yes. So
and I love the round couches and the beads, and he's right.
Yeah, the little beaded doors. And in fact, when the New York performance artist and poet Puma Pearl was on, she says, "Yeah, just hand me the red paisley cushion. I'm going to sit on that over here." So yeah, I think it's a comfortable place. It's not too girly. It's pretty comfortable. Well, anyway, Sherry, yes. When's the last time I saw you? A couple of weeks ago in Macon, Georgia.
Yes, at Barnes & Noble.
At Barnes & Noble, and you were selling your book, Finding Tambry, and having a fantastic day.
I was. It was, I mean, I think all of us had a great time. And then you surprised me by showing up, so I really appreciate that. And it was just a lot of fun. I think everybody had a good time. Anybody that came to the table, I was so excited to see each and every person. So it was a lot of fun, Jennifer. It sure was.
Well, it was. And, you know, one thing you won't tell people, but I will. I found out from one of the people that worked there that you in your book, Finding Tambry, you outsold every other author that day, because they can check that in their little register databases, you know, every day, who sold the most. So congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. I still can't believe it. I'm just so happy. I mean, I know people say this all the time, but I'm so happy people showed up. And, you know, I had friends that supported me, and some, you know, people that didn't know me bought books. And I'm so excited when somebody that I don't know shows up to buy a book. So I appreciate everybody that came by, including you, Madam Perry. Thank you so much.
It was worth driving across three states just to see you there, to see that they made a big window for you, and then to hear the manager, Eric, talking about you. That was pretty cool, too. My thanks also to Cindy Daniel, the CRM of the store. But, you know, I've been talking to you about we're trying to get to Book Expo, you and I, and about how we can make some extra money for this because Chicago is so expensive. And we were talking about doing extra film work, you know, getting some extra, getting listed with some groups. I used to do that years ago.
And it sounds like a lot of fun. And, you know, you and I have talked about it before. Atlanta has just exploded as far as, you know, series that are filmed there and extras that are needed. I mean, there's so many shows that are now filmed in Atlanta or all across Georgia, really. So I think that's something we can definitely try for.
Oh, yeah. There should be enough as long as, you know, that fit in. Of course, I think I even put in for a nude scene somewhere once. I think it was on a show called Powers, but I don't know why they didn't want me. I don't know why. I think it's put in a picture
because
in underwear.
They were crazy. That's why they were crazy.
That's what it was. Maybe they thought they'd used me before because I had some other blonde. But anyway, the extras world, the background world is a fascinating look. It's like a whole culture and subculture, I guess, behind the acting scene. Now, when I first started doing it, sometimes the actors would actually come out. Like I worked on a movie called No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan, and Joan Severance and the other wrestler in it, Tiny Lister. You know, they would come to the extras place where we ate lunch and come out and talk to us and just chat and so forth. They were very, very friendly. And you know, it's like one of those situations where people say, you know, this is kind of like another little culture. You would think somebody would make a show about this. You know, we always talked about it during the years with extras and write a book or something. But guess what? Somebody has. And this is the coolest thing in the world. It's going to be brand new. It's going to be a hilarious comedy. You see, the title of the show was 64-8, The Unconventional TV Comedy, and of course, across the picture it says it's extraordinary. You get it?
Oh, extraordinary. Love the word.
Yeah, extraordinary. You got that extraordinary. Anyway, it's a comedy about a group of Atlanta extras navigating their way through the entertainment industry, and I'm going to introduce one of the gentlemen behind it, and you're going to introduce the other. Is that how we're going to do it?
That sounds good to me.
Okay, actually. Why don't you introduce yours first, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I asked my husband to print this out, and instead he's giving me something from his job about satellite feeds for television news trucks or something. So
that's fine. I'll be happy to go first.
And I could get in trouble if I read this stuff. So please, go ahead.
All right. Formerly an art and history teacher in Florida, Edward Reed moved to Atlanta in 2007 and began selling rare antiques. Out of a need to be more social, he began background acting, which he did for over a year. He then found an agent for acting, wrote a TV pilot, The Grand Prince of Moscow, which he produced and acted in. The production is now seeking distribution. He then wrote 64-8 and is collaborating with Ryan Monolopoulos, producing, directing, and acting in it. Edward also is involved with a new entertainment app that will be coming out soon called Asteroid. And if that weren't enough, Edward is also a program manager in the mental health field at One Community Behavioral Health. Welcome, Edward Reed, to Madam Perry Salon.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here with Ryan.
Excellent. We're excited to have both of you here. And we can't wait to start talking about the show. When Madam Perry first told me about this, I thought the idea was extraordinary, absolutely. And as soon as Madam Perry can introduce, we'll discuss more. But tell us a little bit more about it, Edward. If you'll get started, and then we'll bring in Ryan.
Was both of our ideas. It was I was having my 40th birthday party, and Ryan came over a little bit late after he teaches on-camera combatives. So he's into martial arts and teaches a large portion of anybody interested in Atlanta in martial arts. And he had done extra work, and I had done a lot of extra work, and we just started talking about our experiences on set. And some of the kind of more aggravating experiences. And, you know, I know that I've been on set so many times and extras have said, somebody's got to write a show about this, but nobody ever took the initiative.
Right, right.
So I know it's not an idea that hasn't been thrown around, but Ryan and I said that night, let's do it. And, you know, we started coming up with stuff. So I wrote up just, you know, a 30-minute pilot, and we started getting stuff together. He was able to pull together a production crew, and we put together our I have Vaslov Entertainment, and he's got his production company. And we were able to pull this off with about, I think it was like 80, 100 people, and able to get in an investor. And we did it. So we're so excited about it.
I'm sure, you know, and just to complete that first, and which I think you have completed one episode so far, correct? Is that right?
We've done 15 minutes. This is kind of like a pilot sizzler, but it whole kind of introduction to right before the extras go right onto set. So it's an introduction to the background world.
All right.
That's really, really interesting. Jennifer, do you want to go ahead and introduce Ryan?
Yeah, and it is a world.
And then we'll move forward. And then we'll move forward with this. Okay.
Well, okay. Well, all right, we will. Okay. All right. All right.
If that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, in 2013, he graduated with high honors from the University of Buffalo with a degree in media production and sociology. In school, he created and established a small production company called Monolopolis Productions, and since then has traveled internationally designing media content and creating films. However, in 2010, he began work on his first feature film, Let Them Have Their Way. It's the largest independently financed film to be shot in Buffalo, New York. In 2013, he released his first feature documentary, Recovery, which details a young man's struggle for survival after a car accident and traumatic brain injury. He's directed and produced several features, produced broadcast episodic content, and written and directed several shorts. In the commercial world, he's worked with many high-profile brands and clients. To name a few, Mercy Flight, Humane Society, Yellow Pages, HP, and Newsmax, creating media for theatrical release and national broadcast. In 2013, he had a short called Before Christmas, which won 6 awards at the Holiday 48-Hour Film Festival in New York, where Ryan was awarded Best Director. And teaming up with Edward Reeves Vaslov Productions, Ryan's most recent project is the dark comedy, Dark Comedy 64A episodic series, satirizing background life on film set. He's also a SAG-AFTRA actor and performer, and has starred in several productions such as Vigilante and The Grand Prince of Moscow. And he's also a lifelong martial artist, and is currently, he has several world titles, but he's currently the lightweight champion stick fighting world.
Wow.
I know. So we don't use a man like him in our organization, could we?
I don't know how both of you had time to come together to produce 64/8.
Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks for having me on, guys. You didn't have to read that whole bio, but I appreciate it.
You know, I said I was going to cut it down. I was going to cut it down, but it was just so good. Yeah, so much good stuff in it. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Not as much as I do, believe me.
Yeah, we're very excited to be
well.
Here. So.
You know what kind of stuff I get. You know the kind of things people think that are interesting that aren't. So you guys gave me all this great stuff. So so the two of you came together. You came up with this. Who was the main person which one of you really came up with this first? Was just like a meeting of the minds, and then you came up with, you know, let's go with this. Let's roll.
Well, I guess, interestingly enough, as you guys had spoken about having an idea for a show like this yourselves, Edward and I had both been doing background work in Atlanta, him for longer than I had moved here from New York. And I actually worked on his TV show he was shooting at the time, Grand Prince of Moscow, which is how we met. And we both kind of, you know, I think they say great minds think alike. I like to think that. And we both kind of vocalized this idea that we had for a similar concept satirizing the everyday life of a background actor or what we might call an extra actor. So really, I'd pretty say it's been pretty 50-50 the whole way in us developing the characters and the ideas. And, you know, together we kind of whittled this thing down to something that could be shot and produced and marketed.
Right, right. So, I mean, it's we're actually the whole thing we're considering 50-50. So it's that's a good thing. And I think with the I did the script, but Ryan and I kind of developed our characters. So it's kind of funny with the characters because what we do is, for example, in the first scene, in background, I noticed, you know, you have your stereotypes. You have a creeper, for example, the guy who's always trying to give a girl back rubs. You have always staring at the girl. You have you kind of have the psychos. You have the lifers. We call them the lifers, the one that's just are not getting out of background. Ryan came up with this great idea to start with this kind of steady cam that starts with the very. We had this really cool. We were working at a place called All About Props, so we had the advantage of working in a prop house. And Ryan came up with this steady cam idea where it comes from the very beginning in this long track, and it shows all kind of what's going on in the background. People are moving, the AD is going, okay, people over here, the PA is talking, the director is talking, and then it goes into the where the background's sitting and holding. And I don't want to give too much away, but it talks about the different characters. So that's the funny part of it, is that you can generalize and see the different people that you do meet in background. And I was doing background for so long that I kind of met these characters, and it seemed like that almost on every set.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're right, the creeper, the lifer, and, you know, then there's always the ambitious person who thinks that
That's Ryan.
That's Ryan?
Well, my character is a part of what we call the networkers on set, the people who are always exchanging headshots and hustling, and, you know, today's their big day. So, really, the fun here is that we're always talking about how production, at the end of the day, is chaos, right? So we're really just showing that even in the background world, you have all these people from all these different walks of life that come together to be a part of what amounts to organized chaos. So we had a lot of fun putting it together.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, as you know, we're both in Georgia, and being a native Atlantan, you know, I know so many people I know or have, you know, some degree of parts in films, TV shows, and I've done extra work too. And but for people who don't know about the world, tell us where the title comes from, 64-8.
Edward, you want to take that one or you want me to jump at it?
You go ahead, Ryan.
All right. Well, actually, and by the way, Edward actually put all the pen to paper. He's a great writer. He wrote a bunch of different treatments for projects, and he actually put this pen to paper. The one thing I had suggested was this title, 64/8. What this alludes to is the pay rate that background makes on film sets, which is $64 over 8 hours. So really, where a lot of people look at it as a lot of fun, which it can be, for a lot of people, it's become a permanent form of income. So really, we've used this as a way to look at what life is like for minimum wage workers a lot too. So that's what the title means there. $64 for your 8 hours on set.
Mm-hmm. Which is about
poverty level.
Yeah.
So. Right.
And let me tell you, when I was doing extra work way back in the day, that's what it paid then too, $64.8.
Okay. Right.
So it hasn't changed.
No.
Nothing's
changed
been
at all.
In place.
What
right,
now?
Right. And you have some people who will live with the 64/8 that use this as their means for income. And what happens is they'll really look for the overtime. So when it goes over the 8 hours, and sometimes they'll go into 12 or 14 hours, that's when they get their, you know, the real pay. So they look forward to the times when it goes on overtime and sitting on set. So they're happy about that. But it can be very, very hard work. I mean, people think that just sitting there is easy, but sitting there for 14 hours can be kind of, you know,
it
difficult.
It can be. And I think the first one I ever worked on spoiled me, because I thought that's how they would all be, and they weren't. And that was the No Holds Barred Hulk Hogan, because they would make these fancy foods. Sometimes they would grill out swordfish steaks for us for lunch and stuff like that. So I thought they were going to all be like this. And they would give us every other day. We got an extra $10 for dry cleaning.
Okay.
I thought you were on a good set.
Yes. And that was just for the fight scene at the end of the movie. And the thing where the fight breaks out of the ring and Tiny and Hulk go up into the audience, I'm the one that's screaming where the black and pink dress, where he grabs my boyfriend or Tiny does and picks him up and throws him over the rail or whatever. And so, yeah, it was great. I think we did that for about 2 or 3 weeks. So, yeah, we were living high on the hog. But I thought, man, this is great. Man, they give you $10 every other day, and they feed you nice dinners. They grill out for you, give you these great meals. Hulk and his wife come around and show their little baby. That's why they got so trashy and had the reality shows. It's different. No, they don't. Then it was a 64-8. So that's where the title comes from. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I want to ask, if Ryan is a networker, Edward, what are you? What were you?
My guy is kind of like the ultimate slacker. He's been doing this a long time, and he tries to get by everything. He lives off tricking people and getting the crew coffee, because on a lot of sets, extras aren't allowed to have coffee. They're not allowed to go near the crew crafty, which is where the crew gets their food. So he pretends he's an actor. He gets the coffee. He sneaks it. But he just tries to sneak everything. And he's just kind of sarcastic and bitter. And there's the contrast between the two main characters. Is you have Kyle, who's energetic. He thinks he's going to be the next David Hasselhoff. And you have me.
That is a great line.
And I just don't give a crap. I want to get the money, and I want to do as much as I can to cause, you know, little problems.
I can't wait to watch it. I mean, it sounds, the concept sounds extraordinary, which is your key phrase, right? Extraordinary.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I guess so. You both worked. So, in addition to being, I mean, you know, of course, you're both well trained. You're writers, directors, producers, but you both worked as extras then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well,
okay.
Not so much since this, because nobody will hire us as background.
Yes, yes, we're done. we're absolutely done, because this has been promoted and, you know, shown around Facebook, and most of the people that do the casting know Facebook and look at Facebook. So once they've, you know, watched this, and we had some posts with showing, you know, the extras, you know, crafty, where it showed the signs that, you know, we had cheese balls on, you know, skewer sticks, and we had dog food for the extras. So after that, we were just about, you know, that's the end of us.
We're done in the background world. But, you know, that's really the fun of the show, is that it embraces the fun of it. You know, being on set can be a lot of fun, and there can be some really great sets. Sounds like you were on a great one. But, you know, a lot of times it's all, people are constantly marginalized, right? When you're doing background work, you're oftentimes, at least in the experiences that we've had, which are somewhat diverse, you're pushed to the background and you're made to feel unimportant. And on set, it's very often that you're reminded that you are unimportant. So the show is all about, in a fun, surreal way, talking about how all these people come together for this big dream, and really they're just being marginalized all day.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we have a caller with a question for you gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, let's see.
Yeah, all right. Or maybe they have something to say about something that you were mocking them. I don't know. Let's see.
Maybe it's a wrong number.
Oh, that's never happened before, but who knows? Hi, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Who do we have here?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, doing great. How are you?
I'm good. This is Todd Riggles. I hope you guys are doing well.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I just wanted to say, I've been following, I live in South Central. I've been following Edward Reed's writing for some time now. I know he wrote another show as well, but I'm just trying to figure out how you guys get the inspiration to write these series and pilots.
Wow. Edward, do you want to take that one? Thanks for your call, Mr. Riggles.
Yeah, well, sure. Actually, one of my main inspirations was I wanted to, you know, nothing against background or people who are in background, but I wanted to get out of background, kind of. I really wanted to start acting. And I knew that the only way that I could get acting is if I produced my own show, so I could be the star. So that kind of made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. So I took a lot of action, and I did a lot of writing, and I had to put a lot of effort and a lot of work into it, and it somehow paid off. And I'm just grateful that everything worked out. And once that happened, I realized I could do more, and I just kept on running with it.
Wow. Well, thank you guys so much. I wish you the best.
Well, thank you, Tom. We appreciate
that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
All right, goodbye. Okay, that was nice. So that was very nice. So do you guys have any interesting stories about your days as extras?
Oh, man. Uh-oh. What are we going to say on the air here, Edward?
Boy.
Why don't you go first on that one, Jeff?
Well, there was one incident where I was asked to leave set. This is because I did... Where we're talking about marginalizing, there was an incident where I was on one set in particular, and it was about 3 in the morning, and a costume lady got into some argument with another extra and was kind of cursing her out, and she put her hands up and she goes, "This is because I'm here and you're there and you'll always be down there." And when I saw that, and this was a girl who was like a Russian girl, didn't speak good English, I said to her, "You can't talk to people like this. This is not the way that you talk to people." And she started going after me and cursing me out. And then she said a really bad word to me. And then I turned around, and you know how it is, like when somebody says a really bad word to you and you're holding your tongue.
Yeah.
That sometimes happens. Yeah. And then I lost it. I said the bad word back. And all of a sudden. So what happens is she goes to get the PA. The PA comes back, starts escorting me out. She goes out, starts talking to people. They called security. Security came and got me. I tried to explain my situation. Security held me back like I was in a fight or something. they stopped the scene with about 30 extras while the main actors were there, escorted me out with security, and drove me back to the cars. It seems so bad sometimes that the people who are crew or other people, and you'll see it so often, they will talk to extras as if they're nothing, and I think it's just become a way of life on set, and it's and I think sometimes the extras just get used to it, which is another problem, and that can be the problem of the extras because they don't stand up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just kind of a story of mine.
And that's the
not
the
a
dark
funny story.
Part. Yeah, that's the dark part.
I feel like I maybe have a slightly funnier story.
Okay, go ahead. Please share.
Cool. Maybe we'll turn that frown upside down here, huh?
Yes, turn the frown upside down. But that's why I did write some of the stuff in the script, because I remember things like this, and I think some of this should be known.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and for me, I've worked on all kinds of sets around the country and even out of the country, and there's some sets that are great. You know, some sets you really feel appreciated, you really feel like a part of the team, but especially in sometimes, you know, larger sets or things that are moving along in a very quick fashion, this happens more often than not. And here's a kind of a good explanation of what I thought would be a funny instance. So they pay background actors $64 over 8 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was on set and I was listening in to some of the production assistants and one of the assistant directors. I won't name the set. And they said they were going to have to bring in a bunch of dogs on the set the next day for a bit. But to pay animal wranglers, it costs far more than $64 over 8 hours. So they actually figured out it would be cheaper to hire background actors and dress them up as dogs and have them on all fours than to actually bring dogs onto set. So, you know, it kind of brings that level of being treated like a dog to an extreme. Oh. And we're actually going to be playing with that in a future episode where we see stuff like that. But really, this is like a – the show becomes an amalgam of all our horror stories, I guess, so to speak.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
And well, the thing is, the extras will do it. That's the issue. Nobody will say, you know, I'm not going to play a dog today.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend 8 to 10 hours on all fours dressed as a dog.
Right. You know, I'll skip that $64 and I'll go do something else today. And that's where it needs to stop.
Yeah. And what do you think that is? Why do you think the extras don't stand up for themselves?
I think it's, and you'll see that a lot. I think it's become that they've been on set, you'll see after a while, I think they've just become, their ego has been so crushed that they get used to it. And they start accepting the fact that they're just an extra. And that's the way that they're treated. Like crew will just move them out of the way, whatever. And a lot of these are educated people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll find people of all walks of life that are on set. And then they get to a point of just accepting the fact that, oh, I'm just an extra. So this is the way I'm treated. I accept it.
Wow.
But you can take your voucher and walk out. Yeah, yes. Yes.
They believe what they're told. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, we do show both sides of it. There are also your extras who will come in on set and then find somewhere to hide and sleep all day and then take the 64 hours after they took a nap for 10 hours.
Yeah.
So we're trying to be unbiased here.
Right.
I can dig that. You know, I could use some sleep and some money for it. So that would be that.
Yeah, I've seen there's an extra I've seen who would bring a cot and just sleep the whole time.
Yeah, literally
bring a cot.
Oh, literally.
Wow.
So that brings me to that book from the 80s, Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. So, yeah, and then you could just reach out and grab some snacks if everybody's on the set, you know, while they're herded in. And, yeah, you're right.
That's Edward's character.
Yeah. You know, I remember there was one time we worked on a movie called Paris Trout, and it had Ed Harris and Hopper. Zebulon, Georgia. It was a courthouse scene, and it was in the middle of the summer, and it was blazing hot. You know, they can't have the any fans going or whatever, and doing it. And, of course, they had, like, some actual local people to be the jury, some local guys and old guys in overalls. And it was so hot, and I remember they took a break, and somebody went to bring Dennis Hopper some water, one of the PA, whatever, PD, PA, whatever. And he wouldn't take it because they didn't give any to these older guys. And
wow.
Yeah, he wouldn't do it. And so they said, yes, but you know, you need some water, you're the star. He goes, yeah, but these guys are older than me and they've been sitting out there longer than I have. I just walked in here, you know, half an hour ago. I'm not going to take any water until you bring all of them water.
Wow, right.
And he didn't, you know, and I just thought I was, and that's just the way he was the whole time. I mean, that was just one incident. But it was
okay. I'm gonna go watch every Ed Harris movie now because of that. You said Ed Harris.
Right.
Oh yeah. No. I'm sorry. It wasn't Ed Harris that did that. It was Dennis Hopper that did that.
Oh, Dennis Hopper. Okay.
Dennis Hopper.
Who was it?
Dennis Hopper movie.
Oh, Dennis Hopper. Okay.
Dennis Hopper refused to take a drink of water until they went back and brought in water for all the older guys in the jury, who were just local guys as extras.
Right.
Well, that's fantastic. And often what you'll see is it's really what we're saying is it's no one specifically maybe maliciously doing this. A lot of times actors are very appreciative, but production comes down to so much stress. You're just there.
Yeah.
The pressure's on. You got to get it done. You only got this one day. We're always cutting time. We're always cutting money. And especially when productions are coming to Atlanta, they're often doing so because there's such great tax cuts here. So it comes down to a monetary constraint. So we're really just trying to draw attention to the fact that, you know, amongst all the glitz and glamour, there's a lot of hardship that happens too. Yeah.
Well, tell us about some of the other characters on the show.
Yeah, Edward, you want to take a lead here?
Sure. Well, we have another girl. We call her Tara Van Houten. She's one who is always featured because there's something with extras when you're featured. That means you're like the one that might maybe standing next to the star or near the star. And once you get that title as a featured extra, that's a really big deal. So so she's always talking about how she's featured, and all the other girls are sitting around her. She's talking about how she got to be near Mario Lopez and, you know, all of these great things. So you have someone like her. We have a guy, Walter, who never gets picked. Like, what happens is the PA will come into the extras holding, and he'll pick people to come on set. But this guy, Walter, consistently gets picked, never gets picked. So he's always stuck in holding. But we're going to get to a point where we're going to push him on set somehow.
And we have a lot of some of my favorite characters are, we really go over the top. It's surreal with some of this. So some of these people become complete caricatures. So we have a character who everybody on set just calls. You know, you get a nickname on set often, right? So people have a character on set called Kermit the Frog, who's kind of like a wiry gentleman who always dresses in green and has the characteristics of a Muppet. We have a character who only talks to his Furby and constantly licks and pets his Furby. This is a lot of really bizarre characters. And, of course, you have the apathetic day laborers, too, like Sheila is our wardrobe lady, who's just, you know, miserable that she's there and talks down to everyone. You're overly energetic newbies. I mean, we hit it all. There's a lot of characters. It's a big ensemble cast. It's a lot of fun. A lot of great local actors.
Yeah. I think we put together something really special. And, you know, we had 15 minutes to do it, but I think we really had a great introduction to what it's like. And we have our crew crafty guy. His name is DJ McMuffin. And he's kind of a white guy who's a wannabe, like, rapper. And he yells at all the extras to get away. You're going to laugh at this guy. He's great. So.
He's just waiting.
And we even have characters playing the crew.
And what now?
Well, we even have characters playing the crew, right? So we have what was confusing on set is, you know, for instance, local actor Michael Cam played one of the directors on set, one of these, you know, really out-in-his-mind, abstract directors. So a lot of these people become, you know, these ideas of what characters may be. But on set it became hard because we had our background, who are the actors, are people playing principal actors who actually weren't the feature of the show, so they became the background. And then we had our real background, and then we had our real crew and the people playing crew. It became very confusing on set, I will say that.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Very meta.
The show sounds like there's a hierarchy of the extras, right? The featured extra is the queen bee, it sounds like. And then you have all these other minor players that fall into place, you know.
Yeah.
Are we talking about in real life or in the show?
In the show, but it's very similar to, in the show and real life. Is that the case usually in real life?
It is. Well, or okay. they think they are. That's the thing, is once they get that title, they like to tell everyone that they're featured, and that's in real life as well. or if they're core, that means they get to come back to the show. They attach that title. They'll say, I'm not just an extra. I'm a core extra.
Wow.
Lots of special badges and awards everybody gets, but they all make the same. So.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they all make the same. Maybe I shouldn't be pointing this out. Maybe I'm telling everybody's going to get mad at me. So no one's going to watch the show. So,
I'm
ruining
the
show.
No, I don't think you're ruining it. All right. Well, if you can, I'm going to take just a little break to talk about some of my fantastic sponsors. So I'm going to give you guys just a minute. In fact, I'm even going to turn off your mic for just a moment so it won't be hot, in case you want to talk about what a good time you're having or how you wish you hadn't come on the show. You wish you were, you know, getting your $64 somewhere. So I'll talk about my sponsors, and I'll be back in about 3 minutes, guys. And we'll be back with more of the guys who created 64/8, the unconventional TV comedy. Hold on. Okay. You know, sometimes, too, one thing about podcasts is podcast creators and hosts, we like to support other podcasts. And there's one, I found a new one this week. I've already subscribed. And this one's a little different from the other ones I've told you about. I've had podcasts about comedy and exercising and health, but this one's, well, Hot Topics is the title of it. The Hot Topics podcast, and it calls itself the place where global thinkers, innovators, and disruptors share their thought leadership in the fast-moving tech system. Tech Ecosystem, actually. And they have a great website that has videos, they have columns, they have articles. I was listening to one of their episodes this week, and it's one where the host, one of their hosts, Jack Hirschman, brilliant guy, Jack Hirschman was interviewing John Sculley, who most of you probably know is the former CEO of Apple, and before that was with PepsiCo. Sculley was talking about how people have learned now, or big business has learned now, how to take advantage of the social media, or he said too, you're taking advantage of the power shift with social media, because it's moving from just the main people that market and sell to the buyers to the actual customer. And because he said people, consumers listen to other consumers and take their word for what's good, not just what's put out in an ad or advertisement or commercial. And so, and there are a lot more shows on there. So if you're looking at the page here for Blog Talk Radio, you know, before in the bottom of the page, I've got the link to the Hot Topics podcast site as well as the Hot Topics website on there. So definitely go and check that out. I'm also going to be tweeting about that too and posting something about it on the Madam Perry Salon page on Facebook. And another one. Now, Sherry, you're a teacher. You're at the college level, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I teach English composition and creative writing. Absolutely.
Well, listen, this is our other show is for you. My other sponsor on the show is Greg Chapman and Condensed Histories. And what this guy did, he was an actor, and he came up with this idea. It was just juggling, magic, acting. And he said one day he was trying to come up with an idea for a different show, something different to do. And he thought, and while he was looking through all his old props, what did he find in an envelope but his history degree? So he decides to work that into a show called Condensed Histories. So he does, you've probably heard of Reduced Shakespeare, but this is Condensed Stories of History. But in the videos, what he does is he'll go and talk, like in one of them he says, okay, I'm going to, you know, whatever castle, because I need to come here and see the castle. I need to do some exterior scene shots and so forth. And then he does, like, he goes back in time and talks to the characters, and then he comes back and he talks to someone who's interviewing him, a woman that we don't see, who's interviewing him about, okay, well, when you talk to this person, when you talk to Richard VIII, whatever, you know, what happened to this body? Didn't you leave a body behind? And so it's like he's interviewing, he's talking about history, he's taking you back to historical places because, you know, he's there in England. But yes, something gets a little twisted along the way in his translation, and even though he's going back to the characters. As he says, it's not a history book in the traditional sense. He thinks about history a lot, but he also thinks about other things. And in the book, dishes up equal measures of history and entertaining digressions. And that's no joke. So, yeah, I've also got that on there as well. On here.
Sounds interesting.
Oh, it is. And the thing is, he's really, really funny. And it's quality video, too. So everybody should go check that out. Now, we've got to get back with our guys, Edward Reed and Ryan Monolopoulos, to hear more about 64/8. their unconventional TV comedy about
comedy.
The extras world. All right, guys, you back with us?
Yes.
All right.
Woo. Yay.
All right.
One thing.
Yeah, go on.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention. Yeah, if you don't mind, guys, I have a story of a friend of mine. Her daughter was actually an extra on a show, and then she became a production assistant. So I'm wondering if you've ever seen that happen with people, if that's a possible, you know, story for an upcoming episode. Have you ever seen anything like that happen?
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time. Background work, I mean, and we really are just, you know, trying to show it's almost like, for a lot of people, a must-do, because it gets people on set. It gets you to meet the right people. You know, it can be a very useful thing to do in your career. So that kind of stuff happens all the time. I mean, when I first moved down to here to Atlanta, the reason I did background work myself, coming from a crew side, was just to meet different people and see who the players were in town. So that does happen quite frequently. Edward, are we going to pen that in? What do we think?
Well, to look at really on, I mean, maybe I've said a little bit. Let me talk about the positive side. When I started doing background work, the one some of the great things about it was I got to see how everything ran. If you can really observe stuff, as an actor and a producer, and finally doing some co-directing, you're right there. You get to watch how the crew runs, how the cameras run, how the director acts. You're just right there on the front. And that to me was really an amazing opportunity. And you do have a great opportunity to meet people and be social. So there are a lot of good things to being an extra, besides some of the negative things that I mentioned. So if you're trying to get into the business, I mean, it's like a great stepping stone. And there are some shows that I walked out of and I was really happy. And there are some shows that I walked out of and I'm like, oh my God, that was terrible.
Or was scored off of, whatever we want to say.
Right. Yeah. There was that show I was kicked out of. But other than that, everything has a negative and everything has a positive. So
you're dragging me out.
It's all going to be positive with the show. It's all going to work for the show, though, for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey,
absolutely.
Guess what, guys? I've got another caller.
To see how everything works and runs is amazing. I mean, being right there is just spectacular feeling and situation. So
that's
a really good part of it.
Here to talk to you, and let me bring them on the line with us. Hi, this is welcome to Madame Perry Salon.
Hi.
How are you? Hi, who do I have with us?
This is Nargis Hansen. I just want to say the show 648, it looks really great. I think it's really fantastic that you guys have taken the idea of showing the life of the background in Atlanta and putting it in a show. Really, really looking forward to it. I've been listening to your stories, Well, one thing I sometimes I wonder, on a production, sometimes you have a lot of crews on set, and then you have some extras. Why can't extras be part of the crew? Why can't it to be, the cast and crew, where it's the crew, background, cast. So yeah.
That's a good question.
So I'm trying to understand the question, Edward. Do you want to take that one?
I'm not. Are you saying the background and crew as eating together or working together?
Yeah, just with the production, we are all for the show. We are all putting the work together. Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, I don't know for outside of Atlanta. Why can't it to be, why can't the background be part of the crew? Everybody should be part of the production, right?
You mean on 6408 when everyone ate together and sat together and things like that?
No, this is just in general. This is just.
I think she's saying
a general
question. Why are extras treated as? Yeah, I mean she's kind of right, right? I mean you have your crew, you have your cast, and then you have your background. They're kind of
right.
The third category, right?
Segregation. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a good question. I mean, there's logistical concerns. I mean, when you have 500-600 backgrounds, clearly. There's limitations of what a production can do to make everybody have a pat on the back and feel like a part of the team. Some productions really do go out of their way. I've been on a couple of sets in Atlanta that really you ate with the cast and crew. But I think a lot of times it's just accepted as the way it's become. It's like, oh, well, we can just give these people oatmeal and cheese balls for 12 hours, then why don't we? So I don't know. I think it's kind of a thing of the way things have become. Edward?
No, I think it has become that way, and it's kind of in a sense, it's in a weird way, it's almost like segregation. It's become
you have your two
lines. You have the cast and crew food
mm-hmm.
line, and then you have the extras crew line, and then they actually will pull a curtain so you're not even able to look at the crew and cast when they eat. It's so demented sometimes to that level. And I just think it's become a pattern that people just accept it and believe it now. And if you're to stand up or say something to the PA or to anyone, they're just going to look at you and say, what? And as an extra, what can you actually do? You can't do anything.
There's no unionization of these workers, right? So if you look
right.
at cast and crew are both unionized. So even though there's this massive workforce of background workers, there's no union for them. So I think that's another point to point out, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to. Yes, I'm really looking forward to 64 over. Is there anything more you can tell us without giving it away?
How about a launch date, guys? When are we going? What's the launch date? That's what she and I want to know.
Sure. Well, we're getting ready for this is big. You know, Edward just has his last show that's going out to circulation now, and we just for my company we just picked up distribution on a bunch of projects. So we're really rolling this together with an effort to get this picked up. And I just want to thank for a second the whole Atlanta community that's rallied around this for us. I mean, between our director of photography Josh Saidman, who's absolutely fantastic, we had Steadicam ops. I mean, everybody who really came together to put in their time for less than it's worth tenfold to make this thing happen. It's been incredible. And we're going to celebrate here in Atlanta. It's going to show first here in Atlanta. So it's looking like in the next month that you guys can follow us on Facebook, just facebook.com/64over8. We're going to be announcing our big screening that we're going to be doing. We're going to have a red carpet event here in Atlanta, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But it's looking to happen probably sometime in late March.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
so
good.
We're still working on it.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
it'll be a lot of fun. Madam Perry, I hope you're there.
Oh, I intend to be. Thank you so much. So I have an invitation.
We've just reserved the front row seat for you. Congratulations.
Oh,
yes.
Fantastic. You might want to be sure of that. I might bring some of my past guests in. Let's see. I know exactly who I'll bring.
Don't boo too loudly.
No, well, there won't be any booing at all. Let's see, I'll bring a few 80s punk rockers. And yeah, I think we'll be good. I think we'll bring Art Harris from CNN. Yeah, I think we'll be good.
Oh, good.
It'll be
great.
All right.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great event.
All right. Thanks so very much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
All right. And yeah, you can follow them on Facebook, too, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
She already does, I bet.
Oh, I bet. All right. Hey, that's nice. Okay. Well, another good caller.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been a lot of buzz about this in Atlanta. I mean, we've hit just locally, we escalated from just starting up a little upstart Facebook page to getting 20,000 plus likes in a very short amount of time. I mean, we've had calls and emails, and everybody's really been supporting this project, which is why we're excited to share it here in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
That's very exciting to have that kind of support. That really, you really want to make it go now, right? You want to make it
right.
work.
Yeah.
Even more, when people are supporting you, it pushes you forward even more. So,
Yeah,
it does. And I think a lot of people, too, especially people in Atlanta, a lot of people have worked on stuff, done extras, or I had a friend who did it, or somebody was in their neighborhood, and it's always excited, you know, that they're just down the street from us. And or I'd say there's even a story, and I don't even remember what film it was. Oh, I think it was Invictus for something, and I was supposed to be a background nurse. And then some other extra who didn't get a nurse's uniform took my shoes before I could put them on and threw them in the back of a truck. Thinking, I guess she figured if I didn't have any shoes, I couldn't do the part, so she could get it. And I'm thinking, it's a
family. Oh, my gosh.
We're getting a lot of money. And I'm thinking, wow, I'm really now in the dog-eat-dog world of showbiz. You know? So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, that's funny. And the one thing I think people are liking about this so much in town is that we could have easily based this story in L.A. or New York, but it's all about the Georgia film production world. It's based right here in Georgia. We're using location as the show gets built out around Georgia. I mean, it's all about what's happening here now, you know?
Right. And we're all background on a show called Totally Sarah. So it's an office comedy, and it, you know, it stars a really arrogant woman who plays the lead. And, you know, so we're all back, and we're going to become core background on this show for a little while.
Core background.
Oh, core background.
Yeah.
Wow.
Core. And Tara,
cool.
Tara will be in competition to be featured. So.
Absolutely. With Madame Perry.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. And see, you've added to our hip vocabulary with things like, you know, the core extras, things that, you know, we didn't know. This is so cool.
Featured.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of fun words.
Let me ask you guys, was Atlanta different from what you expected when you moved here? Or?
Well, you know, I really love it here. You know, the weather hasn't been so cold as up north, so that's one. But in terms of the work culture, I would say it's been different in that I'm trying to think about the best way to put this. It's kind of like the Wild West for production right now. In New York and L.A., and my time spent out there, and in a couple of other cities, there's a lot – everything's kind of established. right? But out here in Georgia, things are expanding so fast that there's almost no rains on it. So I think it's like the Industrial Revolution just hit Atlanta for film here, right? And it's just, you know, so much is happening, nobody can keep up with it. So it's really the Wild West. That's why we have so many crazy stories, is because sometimes so many people are coming together. You see people, crew and cast on sets, it's their first time doing the job all the time. And it's really a great chance for people to get a start. I will say that. It's a great chance for people to get a start. There's no old boys clubs here.
I like that, too.
Yeah, good way to put it, yeah.
Hey, guys, we are so thrilled. Sherry and I are so happy to have you here. And you've only got about four and a half minutes left. So why don't you tell us what we can look forward to. I know you said something about where we can watch to find out when 64.8 launches.
Edward, go ahead.
Yeah, you can follow everything, like Ryan was saying, on our Facebook page to keep up for updates. We will, Ryan is working some on the editing, and we will release some small clips, which will make you laugh, I assure you. And we're rolling on the editing, and we hope to have a nice big premiere. I believe we'll have a great turnout for that. We're going to be on Atlanta Film Chat soon, and then we'll be on probably Buckhead Business Radio. So we're going to be around town, Ryan and I, both of us, discussing the show. So we're not going anywhere.
Well, that's fantastic.
Whether they want us to or not.
I know the feeling. Hey, can I send you over to my friends over at Gwinnett Business Radio for an interview? Would that be okay?
Please do.
Yeah, that would
Please
be great.
Do.
Yeah.
We're just trying to generate the buzz, and like we said, I mean, there's a lot happening. We're looking forward to getting this picked up for a whole season that might be possibly even a television release or a web release. We're really trying to see where this project may fit. So.
Okay, all right. I'll send you over to Mike Salmon over there at Gwinnett Business. And what else do you want to say to any extras out there? Are people thinking about being extras? Any hints, tips, whatever? Things, warnings?
Edward, you go first. Go ahead. You say your words.
I'll just say if you want to be an actor, get a headshot, submit to agents. The best thing about wanting to be an actor is you have to take action. You can't sit and wait, because Spielberg is not going to pull you out and make you the next star. The director's not going to do it. It rarely happens. You have to do it yourself. And if you want to make something, you do it. For me, it's all been action. I haven't waited. That's why these things are happening. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say don't give up on the dream if you're working for it, but be realistic about what your dream is, right? Which is for us, you know, I can speak for Edward as well as myself and a lot of the people we work with, you know, just do. If you're unhappy with the parts you're getting, go make those parts for yourself. Network with filmmakers.
Yep.
Get yourself in stuff. Write your own stuff, because it's getting easier and easier to make your own stuff these days. Gone are the days of needing millions of dollars to make a production. If you get the right group of people around you, you can make things happen, and that's what this industry's become about. It's become about the doers. So,
yeah, make your own dream happen. That's it. So,
I think Sherry and I both agree with that.
That is very inspiring, guys.
Well, thank
Love
you.
It.
We appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank
you. And we're very sincere in that. All right, well, the show's almost over, and I want to thank you again for being here, and thanks, Sherry, for being my co-host. And Sherry,
thank
more
you.
Good luck.
Thank you, Madam Sherry.
You're welcome. More good luck with your book, Finding Tambry, and your wildly unconventional book tour. Guys, there's just something I got to say, though, that I'm a little, you know, we had such a good time with you. We learned so much, and we are so excited about the show. You're so entertaining. However, I know you've got a lot of other projects going on and other things you've done, and we would love it if you would come back and talk about that sometime.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's plenty to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, great. So it's a date. You're going to come back sometime to Madame Perry's Salon. Did you like the genie's bottle look at the place in here? Was it okay?
Yes, it's great.
Fantastic.
Beaded curtains, 60s, all kind of cool for you guys.
Oh, it's so amazing. I love it. So relaxing.
It could be the next set.
Okay, all right. Listen, you are welcome back as soon as you can get back here to talk about other projects that you guys do, and we just think you're so fantastic and hope that wish you all the best success. Sherry, do you have some parting words for them too?
Well, I, you know, this is something you and I are both thinking about, well, me getting into now and you going back to, so thank you for the warnings and thank you for the positive side of it too.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate just learning a little about it. So thank you guys so much.
All right.
Yeah, everybody can feel free to reach out to us directly as well. We're super happy to engage with fans. So,
yeah.
Okay. And remember, on Facebook, you are
64 over 8. Just start typing it in with 64 and it should come right in.
I know it will.
64 over 8. That's us.
Hey. That's where I found him. All right. Thank you so much. Edward Reed, Ryan Monolopoulos, 64-8 is coming soon.
Thank you.
And it's going to be a breath of fresh air in the comedy world. Thank you guys again so much. And thanks for being here in Madame Perry's Salon.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. And here we go, Sherry. Now, let's see. Maybe we should be extras. What do you think?
I think we should try it.
Those guys were just roll. They couldn't they just crack you up? Oh my gosh, they've got to. That's what when they said they were going to be on Buckhead Business Radio. That's why I went ahead and let's see. I went ahead and it looks like I was getting a message from Edward. Gosh, I hope. What does he want? Well, I guess he forgot. Anyway, so yeah, that's why when he said they were going to be on the Buckhead Business Radio, I thought, well, I'll go ahead and send them over to. He's sending a thank you so much message on Facebook. That is sweet. Yeah, he says, okay, thanks so much. Yeah, and that's the kind of people you want to see make it. And it's so cool the way they do. They really do know the world, and they're funny, and they're like,
no.
Oh, no. Are you sure it's not Parker? Okay. If they're going to be on that, then I'm going to send them over to, I'm going to suggest them to the Gwinnett Biz Radio, too, and hopefully they can find some sponsors in that, too. There's also a show called On the Money. That I got Joey booked on last year that might help them find some investors. Hey, they're going to give us the front row, okay? Well, don't you want, because you know how you want to, thank you, but you know you want to see people with talent and good character succeed. Well, yeah, I think I rock. But, let me tell them back. Okay, yeah, Sherry and I are talking now about how much fun you guys are. Now, I told you I love you, now get out. No. How much fun. You guys were. Listen. I'm thrilled that you did this with me, and I'm so glad because you really seemed to fall in with some great questions. And it gave, like I said, it gave me time to, you know, do the tweet stuff too. And yeah, I would. It's perfect. It couldn't be different. If it needed to be different, I would tell you, as we say, in a nice way, hon. But
shut up.
It was perfect. Yeah.
Huh? If it needed to be different, I'd tell you.
in my own special way. Shut up, I'm talking now.
Yeah. Yeah, and you were very gracious. We got to talk about your being in Barnes and Noble. Yeah. After all, did you? And sometime when you have time to, you know, you could read that article by Jane Friedman that I put on the page. You know, because she was telling people, you know, you work with your publicist as a team. You know, you don't. You know, they're going to want you to do some stuff for yourself, but you work as a team. You know, everybody thinks, oh, my agenda is I want to be on the Today Show. Well, yeah, but there's other stuff that gets you there. And, yeah, I want you on the Today Show, too, first of all, because you're talent and good, you know, you're a talented person with good character and a great book. And, two, you know, you're my favorite client. And, three, if you're on the Today Show, I can jack my prices up into the stratosphere, okay? So, I think that's right. But anyway, no, you go ahead. What were you going to? Okay, I will. All right, and listen, thanks for doing this tonight. It was a lot of fun, and I think it's good for you because these guys do have a big following. And with them having a following, you know, it also, you know, brings more people to know who you are as well. So, but yeah, they have a great following, and they should. And I'm telling them now I'm going to put them in touch with Gwinnett Radio and, yeah, be good, and then we'll be at the premiere. Oh, I'm sure they really wanted you, but you know, since I was a host, you know, they think being a madam that's gonna I'm gonna bring something else. So, anyway, yeah, we'll be at the premiere. We'll have to coordinate that with Kim's launch. Okay.
Sure.
No, I'm at Denton's office, and that's Parker. And Parker's getting fussy because he's just a little old man now. And... No, Fiona wouldn't come out the door. She stayed behind. She wouldn't come. Sometimes she's that way. She won't come out. I don't know what she's afraid of.
No.
Oh no. She's in Asheville, but she's in Mars Hill back at. No, she's in Mars Hill back at the house, but we're here in Denton's office in Asheville. Me, Parker, and Denton.
Hey.
Yeah. Me and Parker and Denton are in his office. Fiona's back at the house, laying back on the bed. She's probably watching, you know, PBS or something. I usually leave that on for them. But if they have those British shows, I'm hoping I'll come home and they'll go, oh, Mommy, is it time for dinner? So, all right, and you too. Thanks a bunch. Bye. Well, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are funny.
What are you doing wrong?
I'm closing everything down so I can get out of here.
Okay.
Closing down.
I'm going to go back.
Mm-hmm. Not where, honey?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the grocery store.
Oh. That's a good idea. Where? Anybody we know?
Dan, homemade sand.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, you should definitely go.